listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I can know the covenant that I have with God. I can know the direction I need to go on my journey. I can know how to listen to the voice of God when He tells me where to go.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. for The Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Bumgarner on WCNO.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Off Pest Control is there to help. After all, whose house is it anyway? With Bug Off, bugs can run, but they can't hide. David and Esther Lunder of Bug Off Pest Control believe in the ministry of WCNO. Licensed and insured, serving Martin and St. Lucie counties. Bug Off Pest Control, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, available at 343-1177.
There'll be seed time and harvest. He will send us the early rains and the warmth of the sun. The young ones will dream their dreams, and the elders have vision. We'll dance by the living streams, bearing the fruit of our God. We'll give thanks to the Lord of the harvest, though we may sow precious seed with our tears. By the word of our God living through us, we will not yield to doubt or fear. There is nothing too hard for Him. We can rest in His goodness. Look beyond things that pass away to what never will fade. Reaping harvests of righteousness, if we do not grow weary, the fruit of our faith by love in this present day. All that's stolen will be restored. We will not need to raise shield or sword. Every valley will be lifted tall. We will speak and see mountains fall. We'll give thanks to the Lord of the harvest, though we may sow precious seed with our tears.
Take crazy faith. cost everything. I'm stepping out, I'm taking the leap of crazy faith. Crazy faith. This house and all my dreams, you're asking me to leave and take my wife and children where we never thought we'd go. This is crazy. Lord, I never thought we'd go, and it scares me.
This is Dave Freeland, your host on Sounds of Joy, inviting you to listen Sunday mornings at 6 on WCNO FM.
Came down. from his feet it came down and ran to the ground. And a small inner voice said, you do have a choice. The vine engrafted me and I clung to the tree. Set the captives free, and the numbers that came through the fire and the flood. I clung to the tree and was redeemed by the blood. From his hands it came down, from his side it came down, from the feet.
Heaven's love is way beyond me. I long to walk those streets forever, to dance and sing.
Things are happening around me way too fast. It seems the stuff of this world could never last. So I put my faith in something that will last indeed. I'm talking He who made the heavens. Heaven's love's in me.
Heaven's love is way beyond me. I long to walk those streets forever, to dance and sing. I don't know why He died for my soul, but someday I'll see. I'll keep on following Jesus to the day we meet.
Their aim, they seem to have followed something hollow that's not the same. Well, listen up and let me tell you, there's one God for me. His love is way beyond the heavens. Heaven's love's in me. And the people say,
Heaven's love is way beyond me. I long to walk those streets forever, to dance and sing. I don't know why He died for my soul, but someday I'm following Jesus to the day we meet.
Someday I will understand, oh, the mystery of your love, the beauty of your perfect plan.
Well, I promise you, my friend, if you follow me, I'll take you up into the heavens. Heaven's love's in me.
Yeah. Heaven's love is way beyond me. I long to walk those streets forever, to dance and sing. I don't know why He died for my soul, but someday I'll see. I'll keep on following Jesus to the day we meet.
Sing again now.
Heaven's love is way beyond me. I long to walk the streets forever, to dance and sing. I don't know why He died for my soul, but someday I'll see. I'll keep on following Jesus to the day we meet.
You can have my heart, though it isn't new. It's been used and broken, and only comes in blue. It's been down a long road, it got dirty on the way.
Forever our God. You've set the captive free. You're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens, and you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became the way for us. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, oh, how glorious, you are amazing. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, oh, how glorious you are.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In source of hope is Christ alone.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil, learn Yahweh's ways. Torah life, ministries, come out of the world.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan.
Let us learn Yahweh's ways with Torah Life.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson from Torah Life Ministries, and today I want to talk about the scriptures with you here, but I want to talk to you about a scriptures, not from my opinion or not from what I might have heard somebody say. I want to bring it straight from scripture. We have a problem today, and today is we have human emotions that we let control our desires, and our human flesh is what we determine what good or bad is, and we don't look at the scriptures. And we need to, as believers, refine ourselves and become in a practice of doing what our Creator says to do, which is good. And what He calls good is good, and what He calls bad is bad. So before we're saved, before we accept Yeshua as our Messiah and we desire to do the things that He does, what happens is our flesh desires to do things against His Word. And we think that's okay, and we think that's good. But when you accept Yeshua, the one many people call Jesus, as Messiah, something is supposed to change, folks. And what's supposed to change is your heart. And now you are to see what He sees and love what He loves and hates what He hates. Now that's not saying we might not struggle with some of the sins and the bad things of this world. But what it is saying is we would hate it so much that eventually we will be able to overcome it. The problem we have in today's world, and the problem I have when I street evangelize and just when I talk to people about the scriptures, people often use an excuse for their sin, saying, "But I'm a good person." That's what I hear a lot of people say. They say, "But I'm a good person," or "But that person's a good person." And my question often is to them and to you listening right now is, who determines or what determines what good is and what bad is? You see, if we use our own intellect of what good is and what bad is, and each person believes what they are doing is good, or if what they are doing is bad based on what they believe, that's the problem we're in today. We have no standard moral guideline, code, and everybody thinks they're good based on their belief system. But only when we have a standard moral guideline and code can we truly know what is good and what is bad, regardless of what our feelings tell us. I know people that do a lot of things that the Bible calls bad, but they call it good because they're going off their own feelings, and their feelings aren't in line with what the scriptures say. Now they have a choice to make. So many people think they're good, and that's a big deception of the enemy we have here. Well, look at scripture in Isaiah. In Isaiah 6:20, it says, actually in Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe to those who say to evil good and to good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And then it goes on in the next verse and it says, "Woe to those wise in their own eyes and discerning in their own sight." See, this is the problem we have, folks. People are doing exactly that. And Isaiah the prophet is saying, "Woe to those that are doing that." Because if we think what's good is according to our own feelings and our emotions, not only are we going to have difference with most people because everybody thinks different and no two people are alike, but what about the Bible? What about what the Bible calls good? Do we measure up what we're doing according to the scriptures? Somebody once told me, "Well, you know, the Spirit speaks to me. I don't need to read my scriptures." Well, folks, if that Spirit that's speaking to you is not lining up with scripture, that's not the Spirit of Yeshua, the Spirit of Yahweh, and you need to question that, and you need to test that and test everything. We need to understand and get real with this, folks, because we are living in dark times. We are living in dark times, and we have an option to continue to enjoy the darkness, or at least adjust and live in a darkness, or we can start to become part of the light. And the scriptures are very clear in this, and I invite you to look at your scriptures and do a more study on darkness and light so you start to understand what it's talking about. But what we have, if we look at the simplest example of this, is people living in pure darkness. And they are part of that darkness. But then when they accept Yeshua, a little dim light starts to shine. And then when they start living according to the Word, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So now when you have the faith of Yeshua, and you're following His Word, and you're His sheep, you become a bright light in this darkness. And with that, you have to go out there and let the world know through your own example and testify through your own works and your own actions that you are light in darkness. The scriptures say that we need to be doing this. But the problem is, folks, many people enjoy their darkness. They enjoy living according to their own flesh more than they enjoy living according to the word of our Creator. And what I say is, we need to understand what good and bad is according to the Bible, not according to our flesh. So we get that, folks. We need to understand what good and bad is, and then we need to have a desire to seek good and seek to get away from evil. In Psalms 1, it says, the delight of those that do not hang around the counsel of the wicked. The wicked are those that are living against the word of our scripture. In 1 John 3:4, it calls sin transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Now, where do we find those guidelines and instructions of our Creator? In the Bible, specifically in the first five books of the Bible. And when Timothy said, all scripture is profitable for man, or when that was said, Paul said that in Timothy, to Timothy, he was talking about the original covenant, the first five books of the Bible known as the Torah. But so many people today are taught not to look at that. So many people today in the church are taught, well, you know, it's all good, and our Creator loves everybody no matter what, and we just don't have to worry about doing certain things anymore because that's legalism. All we got to do is say a couple of prayers, and next thing you know, everything's going to be good. No, folks, because there are a lot of people that might say a prayer but still desire evil and desire bad. So we need to desire good, and we need to do good things according to His work. We need to be a light. If you are standing in darkness and you are part of that darkness, no one is going to recognize you. You are not going to stand out. You are not going to be holy or set apart. But if you are light standing in darkness, you are going to shine, and everyone is going to see you, and everyone's going to notice. And people might come against that. They might call you legalist. They might call you a cult. They might call you all these different things. But take that as a compliment, folks. They're recognizing so much that you're living according to the word, that you're a bright light in the darkness of the world around you. Hallelujah. That's what we should desire to do. That's what we need to be. It says in Matthew 5:15, it says, nor do they light a lamp and they put it under the bushel, but on the lampstand, and it shines for all of those in the house. And then verse 16 says, so let your light shine before man, so that they may see you and your good works, and may glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. So that's what we have to do. We have to let people see our light. But first we have to be our light. And the way we'll be a light is we understand what good and bad is according to our Creator. See, the problem is, folks, people have disconnected today from the word sin. They don't understand the seriousness of the word sin. You know, people fear man and man's diseases more than they fear our Creator and our Creator's consequences for disobeying Him. And that is the issue right there. If you're standing on a street corner and somebody says, oh, somebody coming around the corner and they have Ebola, you're going to desire to run away because you don't want to catch that disease of man. But what do you have that same desire if somebody's coming around the corner and they have sin? Oh, there's a sinner coming around the corner. Do you seek to run away, or do you seek to become friends with that person? It says in the scripture, you know, a friend of the world is an enemy of our Creator. So we have to fear sin, folks. We have to fear sin so much. We don't want sin at all in our bodies. We don't want sin around us. We disgust when we hear the word sin or somebody's sinning. But we're not doing that, folks. And the church isn't helping by teaching people, you know, to share their testimony of faith, but don't share it so much to say the word repent. Yes, folks, the word repent has become a curse word in the church today. And that's become a big, serious issue. It's a big issue because we ought to repent, to turn our ways towards His ways, and to shine and show our works, to be a light in the world today. So we have to read, and we need to repent, and we need to tell other people to do the same. And as we start doing that, we start realizing what the fruits are of Scripture, and we start saying, do we really have the fruit of Scripture? You know, yes, a person is saved and by the blood of Yeshua, not by works, but because they're saved, they should be doing the works, and they should understand and study what the works are and stop making excuses not to do them like so many people do today. We need to repent, and we need to read Scripture and understand what living holy and set apart is all about. And that's what we get when we get in Scripture, because that's what it talks about. You know, but it says there's a narrow road and a narrow gate. And then there's the wide road and the wide gate. Now, most people will choose that wide road and wide gate. But the narrow road and the narrow gate is narrow for a reason. because not many people will travel on that road. Not many people choose that road, because when we think with our own human intellect, why should we? Why not go on the wide road? Well, the scriptures, when we start thinking in biblical terms, the scriptures say that that wide road is the way of the world, but that narrow road is the way of Yahweh. You know, so that's the name of our Creator, Yahweh, and that narrow road is His way, and that narrow gate is Yeshua, and that's the only way to salvation according to the scriptures. So we get on this narrow road, which according to the scripture is doing the works. It's called Torah, that the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That's the narrow road that only few will choose, and that'll bring them to the narrow gate. That's Yeshua. That's going to let them in, and it's going to be the only way to get into the kingdom. You know, when the Bible lists all of the things that will keep out of the kingdom, it's the things our flesh desires. It's the things our flesh loves. It's the things the Bible calls bad. So when somebody comes up to me and says, well, I'm a good person, or they're a good person, you know, my question is, well, what are you basing good and bad on? Are you basing that on your own thoughts and your own ideas of what morality is? Or are you basing it on what the scriptures say? I meet many sodomites who come up to me and say, well, I'm a good person. Well, you're doing a really evil thing and you're enjoying it, so I don't know if that's a good person. You know, I see many people coming up to me, they're living, you know, against what the Bible says. They're eating away against what the Bible says. They're dressed against the way the Bible says. And they're enjoying those things. They're making a practice out of those things so they can become perfect at living against the word of our Creator. And the Bible calls that a bad thing, an evil thing, calls that an abomination. But they have this deception saying, well, I'm a good person, because they say, well, I don't hurt anybody. Well, folks, you're hurting our Creator when you don't listen against His words, to His words. James 4:17 says, to know good and not do it, to him it is sin. How are we going to know what good and bad is if we're not following and reading the guidelines and instructions of our Creator? We need to seek knowledge so we can learn, so we can know what good and evil is, and what bad and good is, according to the word of our Creator. In Hosea 4:6 it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, we all have knowledge, folks. We have worldly knowledge. But what they're talking about here in the scripture is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the lack of understanding of what good and evil truly is. That's what destroys us. We think about the word understanding. In the Bible, over again, it says, seek understanding. Try to obtain knowledge. Well, what is understanding according to the scripture? According to the Bible, understanding is departing from evil. That's what it is. And it says in the scriptures, those that understand will have salvation in Yeshua. And those that desire to have a lack of understanding will not have the salvation of Yeshua. What is understanding according to the scriptures? Departure from evil. How many of you desire to depart from evil? Or how many of you gravitate towards it? See, that's the problem we have, folks. If we don't know what evil is according to the scriptures, how can we have a desire to depart from it? We have to study His word and see what evil is according to His scriptures. You know, the things He says that will keep people from getting into the kingdom, you know, yes, it's as severe as homosexuality and murder and rape and all these things, but it's also as simple as lying and the wicked tongue and gossip and these things as well. But we can't pick and choose. We have to follow the scripture. We have to keep the scripture. You know, one of the biggest abominations according to scripture is not obeying the Sabbath. But we have people making excuses so they can live in their evil. They're not desiring to escape from evil. They're desiring to make excuses for the evil, and that's creating a big problem. So it's my desire that our wonderful Creator would open your eyes and you would see and seek to learn between good and evil, between bad and good. You know, but He's only going to open your eyes if you seek that. So if you're listening right now, whether you're driving in your car or whether you're listening over the internet or wherever you might hear this message, pray and seek that He will open your eyes and teach you the difference between good and evil. You know, King Solomon said, give me wisdom and knowledge to know the difference between good and evil. That should be our desires, to understand the difference. And then the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms is filled with many writings, mostly by David and many others, that are pleading that you know they would know the difference between understanding, departing from evil, and they would seek it, and they would ask Yahweh to open their eyes, versus this world today that they don't pray these things. They know the words of a secular song on the radio more than they know the words of Scripture. Why? Because that's what they listen to most of the time. They could identify by visual sight any character in a movie, in a Hollywood movie, but they can't identify a scripture by sight because they're looking at the things on the movie screen more than they're looking at the things in their Bible. We need to start dusting off our Bible, folks. We need to start reading it every day. We need to start praying about what it says. That should be the most important thing in our life because that's what should direct how we live. Our emotions are going to get us in trouble. If we desire to lean on our own emotions, yes, emotions are great when we're in danger and we need them to kick in to tell us to get out of a situation real quickly. But if you're letting your emotion dictate your life and how you should live and what good and evil is bad, that is an issue. We need to disconnect from that and we need to just become robots for Yahweh and see what he says and say, regardless of how I feel, regardless of how I think, right now, I want to follow the word of our Creator. So much so that what's going to happen later on is the way I think and feel is going to be in alignment with what the word says, with what our Creator says. So that's what being his sheep is all about. You know, so I know, he's calling me, I'm a sheep, I will answer and I will follow him, I will respond. But today people follow the man-made rules of this world and they throw away the rules of Yahweh, our Creator. And there's consequences for these things, folks. You know, the scripture says, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. How many of you listening right now want life? I know there's good things and bad things going on in the world, and many of us have struggles today and stresses today, but we don't have to need those things. You know, disease is another word for discomfort. That's what it is. And so many people are suffering from the disease today of not being satisfied with their life, with what's going on. But the opposite of dis-ease or discomfort is comfort. And that's what our Creator Word does to us. It gives us a comfort and a peace knowing that, hey, as it says in Scripture, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. You can try and look to get rid of your discomfort any many other ways out there today, but it's not going to happen unless you seek the word of our Creator. He's the only one that could truly take it away, and you don't need a drug or a drink to put a Band-Aid over the issues you're having and the idea of discomfort in your life. No, you need Yahweh. He's the one that could take that away, take your loneliness away, take your stresses away, take your anger away, and take your fear away. You know, in the scripture says, fear of man is a sin. We need to fear our Creator and not fear man. That's not happening today. People fear man more than they fear our Creator. People desire the ways of this world and they have no fear of sin. And because of all of this, this is the world we're living in today. But you can be a light in this darkness and you can come out of that. If you're listening right now, whether you turn this on and you think there's no hope for you, well, when the word says, I give you a future and a hope, you know what that means, folks? That means a future and a hope. Hallelujah. We all have an option or an opportunity to experience that. But it's up to us. It's our will has to become his will for us. And the Bible is a book about his will. What he wants us to do. How he wants us to live. You know, I go out there often and I street evangelize and I see people living a certain way. And many of them confess not to know Yeshua, not to have a relationship with Yeshua. Fine. I'll tell them about Yeshua and I'll tell them that that's not really fine and they need to get right with his word. But the sad point is many of them confess Yeshua as Messiah. They say they believe in him, but their actions aren't showing it. They're showing no fruit in their life. That's why it says in a scripture, it says in Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It also goes to say in the scripture, if you deny me before my Father here on earth, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. We have to start thinking about this and we have to stop letting the worldly lust lead our path. And we have to seek the path, the narrow path of righteousness and the path of Torah. We have to think about this, folks, and time is running out and we have to realize that we can take it for granted of how much time we have left here. But when the Israelites went into the promised land, those people know, and they had 40 years to get right, over 40 years, 400 years to get right with our Creator's words. But many of them took it for granted, and only Rahab repented, and only Rahab was spared. But, you know, that's what's going on right now. Noah was going around telling everybody the same exact thing. It says, woe to you that call good evil and evil good. We got to get right with his word, folks. But what happened in Noah's time? Well, the people didn't want to listen. And we see what happened there. We look at the example of scripture in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's right there. The people are warned what they're doing, and they're not living according to the ways of our Creator. The word has always been out there, folks. You know, our Creator has given us this word so we know what good or bad is, or what right or wrong is, or what evil is. But I just go out there and stand on any street corner in America, and I see the way people respond to hearing his word. And it's just sickening that there's no understanding about obeying our Creator's words, or even developing a relationship with him on any level. People just want to have one foot in this world, and they want to have one foot, you know, in the kingdom, but that can't happen. And they desire to seek the ways of this world, and they get in trouble, and you know, some of them, when they're in distress, they just finally realize it and turn. But why do we have to go all the way there to the worst point in our life, to the lowest we've ever been, to see Yeshua, when there's so many people here telling us about him right now, and you have that opportunity? And for those of you that already have this, you don't need to convince, you don't need to trick, you don't need to, you know, make other people, and you can't make other people see this, but what you need to do as a believer is you need to go out there and let them know. You need to be a light and let your work show. You need to tell them that Yeshua died for them so they could have life. And that's what has come out, folks. Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, died for you so you could have a second chance, so you could have life. Because the penalty of death is what we all deserve for our sinful living, for our desires of evil and not good, for not even seeking to know what good or evil is, and to walk in the ways of this world. But Yeshua came to take that penalty and die for us so we could have life. He came the first time for sinners, folks, but when he comes back again, he's not coming for the sinners, he's coming for the righteous, for those that desire his ways with all their heart. So you need to ask yourself, if you're listening to this right now, do you desire our Creator's ways, or do you desire the ways of this world? Do you even know the difference? When's the last time you read a Bible? When's the last time you told somebody Yeshua died for them? Are you being a light in this world, or are you just being part of the darkness? Are you set apart, which means holy, or are you just part of this world and nobody can tell the difference between you and anyone else in the way you act, the way you think, the way you walk, and everything else? It's my desire that you would seek him so much that Yahweh would finally say, I'm going to open your eyes because, you know, your heart is seeking after me. And it says, if you knock, you shall receive. I will answer if you seek. So that's what it says in the scripts. That's what we have to do. I have a radio show here on WCNO Radio in South Florida every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. If you want to hear more messages, you could also go to my website at TorahLifeMinistries.org. And even there, if you're still seeking and you're listening, call me right now on the radio. Call me right now if you're hearing this. You can reach me at 561-283-1707. That's 561-283-1707. Contact me if you have any questions, but I invite you to go to my website and look at the hundreds and hundreds of videos that I put on there each day to let people know about our Creator's ways, so your heart can be purified and you would seek Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, in all you do always. And you would have that desire. You can get in touch with me, or, you know, but you know, the answer is not, you know, in what I tell you. The answer is in what the Bible tells you. So go to your local bookstore and pick up a Bible, or go to a local church and just say, do you have an extra Bible that I can use? You know, or if you get access to the internet, which most people do today, go on the internet and start reading the Bible. There's many ways online you can get this access for free. We live in a time today where we have this information at our fingertips. See, it's always been available, but even today around other parts of the world, people have to die to get this information. But they're willing to do it, like Jeremiah says in it, or Job says in his word, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That means the word of our Creator is more important than a life, than Job's life. And that's the desire we need. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's a desire I have, folks. His words are more important than my life. His word is him, and it's what he talks about. It's what he desires and what he wants. If somebody was standing on the street right now and somebody jumped in front of you and pulled a gun out on you and they were about to shoot you, but somebody else jumped in front of that bullet and died for you, would you just walk away and never think about that again? Or would you think, wow, I'm never going to forget that. I want to learn as much as possible about this person that died for me. And I want to pay tribute to him every single day as long as I live. And that's what we need to do, folks. That's what we need to do. That's the heart and the desire we need to do. We need to go out there and we need to tell everybody, just like you would tell everybody every single day, that somebody died for you. If a close relative or a close friend that you know died, you think about them all the time. You think about them, it stirs up emotions inside you. Well, if you call yourself a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, do those emotions get stirred up inside you when you tell and think about Yeshua dying for you? Well, they should. And it's going to start, folks, with us understanding the difference between good and evil. Because without that, we don't understand anything in Scripture. If we don't understand the difference between good and evil, how could we have a desire to do good and not evil? We need to read the Word to understand the difference. We need to ask Him to open our eyes to show us the difference so we can live righteously. Because it's not about lip service, folks. It's not about what your mouth says. It's about living righteously, that He would change your heart so you would begin to live righteously. And you'd stop being like many of the so-called believers out there that say, well, you know, I'm a believer, I accepted Him, so He automatically changed me and I live my heart. No, you need to study, you need to pray, you need to seek, you need to have that desire. He's not going to do anything unless you do something about it as well. Your heart needs to change for your eyes to be opened and the enemy to stop continuing to deceive you, and you can get rid of all this troubles in this world and all this garbage. Folks, I'm here to help you. Check out my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. Again, contact me, 561-283-1707. And I'm going to be praying that your eyes are open, folks. And come join me. Listen again if you're listening on the internet, wherever you're listening. Next week should be on at the same time. And if you're listening on the radio here in South Florida, next week, 11:30 a.m., you can tune in and you can listen to me as well next Saturday, which is the Sabbath. Until then, everybody, have a great week and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth, avoid the evil.
You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you'd like to learn more, please visit www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. Or you can contact Torah Life Ministries by phone at 561-283-1707. That's 561-283-1707.
Learn of Yahweh's ways. Torah Life Ministries, come out of the world.